From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Thank you for joining us today on ABQ Connect. This is Jim Williams with you this afternoon. Of course, our favorite Steve Reiman will be back with you Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of this week. I'm always blessed to be here, especially when I get to have my friend Susie Blake with the Grief Center. They are in studio today, and we have two young people from Rio Rancho High School, Aaron Christensen and Jack Skousen. They are part of a they are basically hosting Harmonies of Hope event that's coming up August 17th. It's going to be held at Sandia Presbyterian Church. Harmonies of Hope is a charity dinner concert that will benefit the Grief Center. So all the proceeds of this event go to the Grief Center. That's kind of a neat deal. Did you think of that, Susie?
I had nothing to do with this.
So Rio Rancho High School is, these two young men are both freshmen. Susie, give us a little background about how this came about, and I know these young guys know the history as well.
Well, 3 years ago, because this is the third year that we'll be doing Harmonies of Hope, I was approached by a young gentleman out of Rio Rancho High School who comes from a family that are very much into community service. And so it was his turn to kind of step up and find a project to give back to. So he had a young cousin at age six die of a brain tumor. And he knew how much that death impacted himself as well as the rest of his family. And so when he found the Grief Center online, he knew that that was the organization he wanted to do something for.
Yeah.
And so his passion has been musical theater. So he combined his passion for musical theater with this passion to give back to the community and put together the very first Harmonies of Hope event. We don't have anything, we as in the Grief Center. We are just the beneficiary. This is completely in the hands of the young people who put this on, and they always do an amazing job.
Well, let's go. We'll let Jack and Aaron both say, tell us about your involvement with this event. Why don't you go first, Aaron?
Yeah, totally. Thank you, Jim. So 2 years ago, when Harmonies of Hope first started, I was invited to participate in the event, and I absolutely loved it. It was such an amazing event, and the people who put it on were just fantastic, and that kind of helped me go into the first group of like high school friends I had ever met, and they really like welcomed me and made me feel like special and important. And so last year, I had the opportunity to be a part of it again, and I was like, yes, totally, I'll do this. And then afterwards, I started thinking about how we could keep it going this year.
Aaron, I want people to understand, and we have an audience that are largely people of faith. A lot of women, probably right now at this time of day, probably 60% women, probably 40% men listening. There may be some young people because school's not in session right now, but if there are students or their parents that are listening, I'd like you to understand that what Aaron just said, he got involved when he was in middle school because he's going to be a ninth grader. And I want people to understand there's so many things that young people can do, taking a leadership position, and maybe you are thinking, well, I'm too young to do that.
No.
You're not too young to do that, right?
Yeah, totally. I started the summer after my sixth grade year, and so that was, like, really young for me, and it was just, as someone who's so young compared to all these other older performers, it was like, wow, I'm so nervous for this. And I remember going in for my first time to sing my solo in rehearsal, and I was like, they're all going to judge me because I'm not as good as them, and they're so older than me. And just like during the performance and that night, I was like, wow, these people are super nice and won't judge me just if I make a mistake.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm sure you've been putting a lot of work in preparation. We'll talk about that in a minute. Jack, tell us about your involvement.
So I joined Harmonies of Hope last year when Bretton invited me and my sister to perform, and it was awesome. Like Aaron said, it was like so inclusive, and just like the rehearsals every week were something I could really look forward to. And so I honestly don't have as much experience as Aaron with this, but I was approached by Aaron and his mom to keep on doing this event, and I was like, yes.
Because how do you feel about the cause? How do you feel about the Grief Center and what they do? Is that important to you?
Yeah, it is really cool. Some of my family members have died, and it's like, it's crazy. And I've had a friend who's died, and it's just been like, it was so sad, and it was really a down point in my life. But the things that they're doing to help the people who are grieving is just honestly amazing.
We are visiting this afternoon with Aaron Christensen, Jack Skousen, and we're going to have Mickey Kivitz. He is part of the team over at the Grief Center, and Susie Blake she's the director of development, helping to raise money, obviously working closely with Rio Rancho High School to put on Harmonies of Hope. It's going to be a concert held at Sandia Presbyterian Church, August 17th, 6 to 8 o'clock p.m. Dinner's going to be served, so that's included in your gift. Susie, I want you to tell people how to register, but then I want you to kind of tell us a little more detail about what the Grief Center does.
Sure. So if anybody's interested in learning more about this event, they have their own website, mm-hmm. and we have it on our website at griefnm.org. And if you go to our events tab, you will see the Harmonies of Hope event. And in on that page is also a link to their website. So, I mean, these guys are really into it. They've got the technology going as well. And so if somebody wanted to make either a donation to the event or purchase a ticket, which is $50, they can do that on the griefnm.org site. If they want to learn more about Harmonies of Hope and actually see some photographs of past performances, or we're also right now doing a little bit of fundraising to help support some of the expenses. So they have a GoFundMe link on their page for that particular portion. So that's the easy way to get started. It's just go to griefnm.org/events, scroll to Harmonies of Hope, and you'll see all the information right there. In regards to the Grief Center, we are excited. We're getting ready to start our third year in our new building, the Center for Hope and Healing, which will be in September. It's just been amazing. We've served over this last year 607 participants. So that's ages 3 all the way up through senior citizens. And when I say that we serve them, what we are doing is we're providing them with a free grief support group where they can come in, and it's all age appropriate, and be in a group with other kids their same age or adults with the same kind of similar experience or loss.
So these are people that have all lost somebody that they've
right.
loved.
Yeah. So they can come in and be a part of that group and attend for as long as they need to and just get that support of others who are going through the same thing. And what we hear over and over again from people who have attended is like, I just don't feel alone anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's really important when you're grieving.
Yeah. And I think a major part of your training is really just to listen to people. Mm-hmm. And to, you know, be there for them and be able to talk about your experience. And as you've seen people going through grief, have you seen people, I'm sure that many of the people that are in the groups have maybe come right after losing somebody, but now they're participating because they're helping other people that have more recently lost somebody.
Yeah, so we could not do our support groups without the help of a lot of volunteers. We probably have close to 70 volunteers who go through a bereavement facilitator training. We actually have one coming up in August, and that's where they will learn all about grief and the causes, you know, what kind of things can occur when you're grieving, and Mickey will speak more to that later on. And once they go through the training, then they become facilitators. And the facilitators come from all walks of life. So they're not, we're not clinicians, we're not therapists. They're just people who have maybe experienced a loss themselves, mm-hmm. and they just want to give back by facilitating groups at the center and making sure that other people are benefiting from those services.
I love that. Tell us a little bit about what your goal is. I'll let you go first this time, Jack.
Okay, so our goal is to obviously help the grief center, but like it's...
Well, let me rephrase it. So I think your goal financially is like $15,000.
They have a very, very ambitious goal.
Oh, they do?
Yes.
Higher than that one?
No, that is the goal.
Okay, well, that's a lot. Okay, but I want you to know something, and that's what this station is about. We're not, when we go on this on the air today, people know we're not begging for money. What we're doing is we're telling people that are listening. And our radio station is a little bit different. People listen to this station intently. It's not background noise because they want to find out exactly about things, this charitable organization that you have and what you're doing. They love the fact that Sandia Presbyterian Church has obviously stepped up to help.
Yeah.
I like that because I want every church to step up and do that kind of stuff, right? Jack, so there's a financial goal. What's your goal, though? Because you're performing and you're a co-chair of the event. I mean, that's a lot for a guy that's in ninth grade.
Yeah. So my goal is definitely to, like, spread the hope that Harmonies of Hope gives. Because, like, it gave me so much hope when I performed last year. And it was so fun. And it's so inspiring. One of the, like, the best acts of kindness I've ever witnessed and been a part of. So
I love that. That's great. Absolutely beautiful answer there. Aaron, how about you? You've performed a couple years, right?
Yes. So, yeah, I was able to do it the first 2 years. We've been able to have it happen. And then this year, yeah, me and Jack are the co-chairs. And we'll also be able to perform it again. But I think one of my personal goals is to be able to open it up to more people. Because, I mean, typically, you know, as performers, we have certain people that come and support us, whatever we do. And I feel like with Harmonies of Hope, one of my goals is to be able to make it open for more people who can come and just, like, be there and just experience, like, the inspiring message that Harmonies of Hope brings. And I think, personally, it's really important, I feel like, that the Grief Center can get the needed care to those who are grieving. And through this, we know it's not as much as we could give, but we know that every little bit counts, and we want to be able to help provide those with the needed support they need to be able to grieve and be able to feel the hope that they need.
Yeah, and when we come back from this break, we're going to talk about the importance of grieving. It's not like you just get over it automatically. There's really some important steps and some things that people need to do so that they can, in a healthy way, grieve. And that doesn't mean it's less painful. I think there's a lot of pain and grief, and that's okay. There's a lot of emotion. I think that's because when you lose somebody you love, that's just kind of showing you, yeah, I really love them. So you should be hurting, but there's a way to get through that hurt and maybe have a chance to act as a facilitator or in some other way bless another person's life because you've been through that. And we'll let Susie talk about that. This is Jim Williams with you this afternoon on ABQ Connect. Susie Blake is the Director of Development at the Grief Center. You can reach out to them at griefnm.org. We're talking about the Harmonies of Hope event. It is a dinner concert happening August 17th. 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m. at the Sandia Presbyterian Church. Amazing that they're making that available. Again, griefnm.org. The proceeds of this will go to supporting the Grief Center, and we're talking with Aaron Christensen and Jack Skousen. They are two freshman students at Rio Rancho High School, and I'm really excited to have you guys here with us. We'll be back with more right after these messages. Susie Blake is the Director of Development for the Grief Center in Albuquerque. They're a 501c3 organization. All donations are tax deductible, and they have a special event coming up August 17th, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock at the Sandia Presbyterian Church. It's called Harmonies of Hope. It's a charity dinner concert. We have two young men, both freshmen at Rio Rancho, that are co-chairing the event, but are also performing, Aaron Christensen and Jack Skousen. Let me go right to them, Susie. Let's start this time with Aaron. Aaron, how many numbers are you going to be doing? Is this going to be a concert that people will be excited to listen to?
Yes, totally. So typically we have an opening number where the waiters will come out and serve the food. And then we'll have a couple songs and then a break. And in total, we'll probably have about 9 solo performances from local teenagers all over Rio Rancho and some in Albuquerque. And then we'll have 2 special songs by Sandia Sound Barbershop Quartet. And they are amazing. And they've performed with us for the first 2 years, and we're so happy to have them again this year. And then we'll have a closing song. So we're looking at probably 15 songs in total, and all of them are just amazing, and it's definitely something to be excited about.
Jack, what kind of rehearsals are you going through right now? Do you guys all rehearse together, or are you doing it individually?
So, yeah, we rehearse together every week, and we're actually going to start doing dancing rehearsals soon, which is very exciting. But for right now, we've been seeing and practicing group numbers while also practicing our solo numbers by ourselves.
Yeah. Well, this is a gift to sing, to play an instrument that I actually think is God-given, but I was not given any of those gifts. I am rhythmically challenged, so if I were to try to sing at your event, you would raise no money because everybody would leave. I'm that bad. In fact, I've had our worship pastor at our church tell me, why don't you just hum? I'm just teasing. Susie, you got to be proud of these young people and what they're doing and putting together, because you're hopeful that it's going to raise quite a bit of money for the Grief Center.
Yes. And, you know, to initially get that call from Breton that very first year and have him explain to me what he wanted to do for us, you know, it was so inspiring for me to hear from a 16-year-old young man who is, like I said, taking his passion for singing and combining it with a really great cause and then putting the event together. It was really an amazing thing to witness, that very first event. I mean, these are high caliber singers. I want the audience to know that, your listeners to know that. And the Barbershop Quartet, they're really cool as well. And they have everything organized and put together. As Aaron was mentioning, they have it orchestrated so that when they do their opening number, they have a lot of younger volunteers who will actually bring out the plates of food to everybody's table.
Oh, so they're serving people
as
well.
They're serving people. Yep. And so this is a pretty incredible event to go to. You know, it's not, don't wear gala attire.
Yeah, come it's casual.
Not, it's nice casual.
Yeah.
But okay. It's not tuxedos. But it's just, you know, and last year was just as special when they did their performance. So I know that this year is going to be equally as spectacular as the past 2 years.
So, Aaron, tell me about your job as a co-chair. Are you partly responsible for recruiting people to perform?
Yeah. So originally we started thinking about who we could recruit, given that some of our performers from the previous years weren't able to do it this year as they've graduated high school and have other plans. So we originally started off just reaching out to everyone we knew who we thought we could be good for this. And we had a couple of people not able to do it. And so we got about like 12 people, but then we've had like 3 to 4 people have plans changed and not be able to participate at the event. So now we have 9 performers, but they're still all amazing and like some of the best singers in Rio Rancho.
And you mentioned that you have somebody in addition to students from Rio Rancho performing.
Yes, we have someone all the way from Albuquerque Academy, and he's like really good. And so he's new. We weren't able to have him the previous years, but we're really lucky to have him this year.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fun. Jack, I don't want to put you on the spot here, but do you guys want to keep this mainly a Rio Rancho High School thing, or would you like it if there were performers from all over the city?
I think it would be really cool. I think this expansion we've had with the person from Albuquerque Academy was a really good idea, in that we should probably try to go more widespread with it. But, yeah.
Well, I get the feeling you guys are pretty young. You got 4 years of high school coming up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to be around a while. So as people are listening, parents, maybe students, probably a little late to perform this year, but future years might be wide open to you. At least worth a phone call, right?
Yes, totally.
And I'm sure people can get in touch with Rio Rancho High School, and they'll somehow put you in touch with these two guys, or you can call the Grief Center.
Absolutely.
And what's that number, Susie?
It's 505-323-0478. And again, if people are wondering, well, this sounds like an amazing event, I want to be able to go or support it, they can get all of the information on griefnm.org. Go to our events tab and go to Healing Hearts, which is another event we have, Harmonies of Hope. And there is the donation and ticket form is right there, but there's also a link to their website, the Harmonies of Hope website. And they can learn more about the event on that page as well, and actually see pictures of Jack and Aaron and some of the other performers who have been involved in this.
Yeah, so we're going to have about 9 or 10 solo artists. We've got a barbershop quartet, and we have some groups, like a band-style type thing performing?
So the group numbers will be all of us. So all 9 of us will be singing like an opening song and then a closing song.
I love that. And who's in charge of orchestrating all of that?
Well, that's us.
That's you guys.
We have some help from our awesome moms, and they've been helping us kind of like put in the puzzle pieces that we can't quite get yet. But yeah, it's mostly us who's been in charge of like getting the music and trying to get everyone together so we can rehearse.
I'm really excited about that. Guys, I told you this was going to go fast. We've already used up our half an hour with you. In our next half hour, we're going to stay with Susie, and we're going to bring in Mickey Kivitz. Mickey is in charge of education with the Grief Center. We're going to talk more about grief and why it's important, and the mission of the Grief Center, and why they're so effective in what they do. Guys, I'm so blessed that you could join us today. Thank you, and we'll be praying the event just goes off like a firecracker. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. We'll be back right after these messages. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. There's still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE.
We're back on ABQ Connect. We're talking about the upcoming Harmonies of Hope event for the Grief Center in Albuquerque, August 17th, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock at the Sandia Presbyterian Church. Tickets are available at griefnm.org, griefnm.org. And it's going to be really interesting in this half hour to really find out about the inner workings of the Grief Center and what they do and how the program works, because all of us are faced with grief. I was just sharing. We have Mickey Kivitz. He's the director of education. And let me read his bio a little bit, because there's a reason that Mickey is involved in serving people in this way. He's been a volunteer since 2015 with the Grief Center. He's joined the staff here this year. He served as a volunteer bereavement facilitator for teen, tween, and adult groups. And he's participated in Camp Corazon, which we'll talk about what that is in just a second. He's been a group leader there. He's been a featured speaker. Mickey has taught Grief 101, an introductory course for adults looking to better understand how to process grief and the loss involved. He's participated in the New Mexico Before I Die Festival. I didn't know there was such a thing. I mean, these are important things to talk about, but I think when you say, hey, there's a festival called Before I Die, people are uncomfortable with that automatically, which is the whole reason you guys exist, because people are going to die, and we got to be ready. Am I wrong about that, Mickey?
You're not wrong about that. And I want to say, when young people like Jack and Aaron show up and are willing to have these kinds of conversations, it's very empowering for the whole community. I was just so impressed listening to their words with you.
Yeah.
Because they are helping us spread the message that it's okay to talk about things that go bad, because they do go bad, and how we respond says a lot about our character.
Well, and I want people to understand, our listeners, understand you and where you come from and why you're serving this capacity. When you were 25 years old, you delivered a eulogy for your brother who had died 3 days before his 23rd birthday.
22nd birthday.
Oh, 22nd birthday.
Yeah, he was 21 years old. His name was Ben. He had cancer, and he was very strong. He was very brave. But the medicine wasn't good enough, and unfortunately, he did pass away. It was right before Christmas. There was something about being able to deliver his eulogy and be a part of a very strong community that helped me out a lot. As a bereaved person, you know, I could have been helped by the grief center. I didn't even know it existed back then. This was in 2008.
Yeah.
So now that I get to be a part of the grief center, I love being part of opportunities like this, where I get to talk about the services we offer, the ways that people can heal and recover, because grief is a life-changing experience. It's something that doesn't go away. It's something that we learn how to live with, and how do we make use of grief is something that I'm really passionate about talking.
Yeah, well, and it sounds like to me, obviously sad when you lost your brother, but now you haven't forgotten that. But now the grief is transformed in some way to energy to help other people.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of how best to respond to that, because it's so well said. There's a saying at the grief center we have, that pain that is not transformed is transmitted. So when people transform their pain into words and into actions, a lot of healing occurs. When we don't transform our pain, it's transmitted in the form of anger, sometimes violence, sometimes unnecessary arguments. And these are all normal ways to respond. I just want to spread the message that there's no right way to grieve. There's many different ways that you can grieve. It's something that you are going to have to learn to live with, because it's a misconception that grief is something that you get over.
Mickey, I should say right now, you're right now addressing on our radio station largely a faith audience. And I want people to understand that the Grief Center works with people of faith, but they work with people of all different religions. And you also work with people that may be atheists or whatever, because all of us are dealing with grief at some point.
Yeah, so it's part of our common humanity. Grief is a really, really inclusive thing. It doesn't matter where you're from, what you do, what you believe. Grief may find you sooner than you expect it. And when it does, there are services at the Grief Center that can help you no matter what you bring to the table. Being a part of the Grief Center can be a transformative experience for anybody.
And tell us how that works. So let's say that, you know, I just shared with you guys during the break, I've lost three of my friends in the last 10 days. If I wanted to, I know you have groups starting up in September. So if I wanted to get involved with those, who would I call and how would I get involved?
Yeah. Well, first, I'm just sorry to hear that.
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, I'm 66, but I've lost friends that are all younger than me. And it's the thing that hurts my heart is to watch their spouses, you know, because they just kind of don't know what to do. And Mickey, I might phrase this as a question to you before we talk about how to take advantage of the services. It almost seems like our culture doesn't want us to talk about this.
I don't think our culture does feel comfort in talking about things of this nature. I think it's really common. As someone who has experienced trauma, I know that there have been times I haven't wanted to talk about it. Trauma is something that makes you feel frozen in time. It's hard to move forward. And the best way to deal with trauma and grief is to empower yourself when you're ready and talk about it with an audience that you're comfortable with. When you call the Grief Center at 505-323-0478, you can be a part of groups that are starting up in September. And if you want, you can attend the group and not say a word. Just your presence being there helps others. That's one of our tenets. You get to process your grief on your timetable with your words as you feel ready. Grief can take away a lot of a person's agency and it can change them because grief is a devastating, overwhelming feeling. Mm-hmm. And it's a normal feeling. I often think of being involved with the Grief Center as being a part of the most inclusive group you could ever choose to join, except you didn't choose to join it. When you are part of the Grief Center, you pay a price of losing a loved one to death. And there are a lot of things that you can do. I think being part of the Grief Center is one of the best places you can be when you are bereaved, because you get to be around people who have experienced something similar to you. When children come to the Grief Center, it's oftentimes the first time that they're in a group of kids who have also lost, for example, a parent, and they're not the other.
And I think it was mentioned earlier, Susie might have said it, as young as 3 years old mm-hmm. are involved.
Yeah, we call those our minis. Mm. Yeah, the minis are 3 to 5. We have littles, which are 6 to 8 years old, middles, which are 9 to 10, and so on and so on. So you're with age-appropriate peers. As an adult, you can be with other adults in specific types of loss. So loss of a spouse, loss of a child. And it's very empowering for people to be a part of this group because they're with an audience who gets it, who understands it, because they've unfortunately suffered something devastating and have gone through a life and death situation. And it takes a lot of time and healing for these wounds that you can't see to finally start to mend.
But that, again, is all normal and something we should be talking about. And it's a process. Maybe it's months for one person and years for another.
Yeah.
To get over it.
Yeah. I learned so much from trying to find answers for why didn't the medicine work for my brother? How do I recover? How do I feel better? And the biggest thing I've learned is that grief and attachment go together. So when you're experiencing grief, it's because you have a loss of attachment and you're disconnected. Finding people that you can connect with is, in my opinion, the most healing thing and the most healing activity you can do to be able to look someone else in the eye and just let them know how you're feeling. And then in return, part of our groups is that we don't give advice. We don't tell someone how to feel. We accept anyone's feelings and we help them work with their feelings, not against their feelings. Because when people work against their feelings, a lot of harm happens. When grief finds you, like it found me, I did not know how to react to it. But now that I'm part of the Grief Center, I love being part of the opportunity to train people about how do you talk with young people about grief? How do you model conversations with them so that they know they can share these things? I think a lot of the reasons that people don't want to talk about this is that it makes people uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And that makes so much sense. But when, for example, a child loses a father and they try and share it with adults and adults put that conversation aside and don't talk about it, they miss out on a great opportunity to help that child heal. And at the Grief Center, we provide so many opportunities for people to heal.
I want to go to Susie now because Susie's the director of development. And one of the things I want to emphasize to our listeners is that if you want to be involved with the Grief Center and have a chance to voice your grief and to meet with other people with similar experience and things, you do that at no charge.
Susie, we do this for free?
Well, and that's the thing is I want people to understand you're not paying for this. But in the same breath, Susie, you've got a building, you're doing training constantly. There is overhead, there's utilities. I mean, there's just stuff. And for that reason, in the first half of the show, we were talking about the upcoming Harmonies of Hope event. Students from Rio Rancho High School helping to facilitate that and put that together. And this is the third year? Fourth year?
This will be their third year.
Their third year. This event is going to be held August 17th, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m. at the Sandia Presbyterian Church. Harmonies of Hope is a charity dinner concert that will directly benefit the Grief Center. And we want to emphasize you can buy tickets at griefnm.org. Proceeds, again, going to the Grief Center. Mm-hmm. What other ways do you have for people to give?
Well, it's an excellent question. And the reason why we do provide our services for free is because when there has been a death, often the financial situation of the individuals or family has changed. And we don't want to create a barrier for people to get the support that is so important in their healing process. So we do not charge for services. In order for us to do that, we do have to have money coming in. And so the different categories are, we have individual donors that are very generous, and they could either give us a one-time gift, a few gifts throughout the year, or even be a monthly donor. We also have support from foundations. So our foundation support is really critical, and it can be anything from larger foundations to family foundations. We also get support from businesses. So whether that business wants to just provide us with a check and not necessarily have any marketing benefits attached to it, or they can be involved in one of our events, where, like Healing Hearts, which is our largest fundraiser, and that way they could be a sponsor and get a table and get their name on our website and things like that. So there's a lot of different ways that people can support us. And that support, basically, it costs the Grief Center around $1,000 per participant for 1 year of service. Mm. So, you know, the funding that we receive is so important.
But you're, again, providing those services for free to individuals and families that are grieving.
Yeah. We also have a really great facility, as I mentioned earlier, called the Center for Hope and Healing. And that facility is pretty quiet during the day because most of our groups are happening at night. So we have a really great training room. We have a family commons room, which is, you know, seating for about 80 people. So, and then smaller spaces. So we also rent that. So if an outside group is looking to get offsite and maybe do a strategic planning meeting or have a conference or a training, I ask that they look to us and come and check out the facility, because there might be an opportunity to rent our space.
And you can reach Susie, the Director of Development for the Grief Center, at 505-323-0478. We're with Susie and Mickey Kivitz. He's the Director of Education with the Grief Center. We're going to come back and talk about different kinds of grief that people are dealing with when we come back after this break. So much appreciate you listening to ABQ Connect. I hope this time today has been encouraging to you. That's what the Grief Center is all about, to try to lift people up and give them comfort and bring community to something that's very difficult for individuals to deal with. We'll be back right after these messages. We are back on ABQ Connect. Thank you so much for listening to us this afternoon. We're with Susie Blake. She's the Director of Development with the Grief Center. And we have Mickey Kivitz. He is the Director of Education. Mickey, before the break, I mentioned that there are different kinds of grief. Maybe you could explain some of that for us.
Yeah, I mean, I can only share the tip of the iceberg in the time that we have, but the two big ones that I want to describe are called intuitive versus instrumental grief. Instrumental grief is when people take their feelings and put them into action, into doing things, into, especially for young boys who typically express themselves through instrumental grief. They like to run around, they like to do things and be active, and then all of a sudden you'll see them stop, have a conversation, and then just keep going. Anybody can go through instrumental grief in that way. It's very action-oriented. Intuitive grief is something that I'm very experienced with as a volunteer bereavement facilitator, because intuitive grief happens when you're able to sit down and just talk and use words and figure out what's going on. Oftentimes young women are more comfortable with intuitive grief, but there's no delineation other than which one are you experiencing right now, because it's dynamic, it changes, it can go back and forth between I need to express myself through actions, I need to express myself through words. And there's no right or wrong way to grieve.
Are you able to look at the actions of a child, or I'm going to say acting out of a child, or even acting out of an adult? And are you able to kind of know that they're grieving?
Sometimes. It really depends on the circumstances. So I'm new to this role. This role is completely new. I'm in the second month as Director of Education. Even 2 months ago, I was in a school. I was a teacher. So I've been in the classroom for the last decade. previously I was a middle school special education teacher. So I have seen a lot of different behavior from kids, and sometimes kids act out because they're connection seeking. When kids are grieving, and especially if schools are grief sensitive and aware of what their students are going through, we as educators can respond in more appropriate ways instead of thinking that a child is attention seeking, which is a term that I'd like to do away with, but connection seeking. Sometimes kids don't have the words to say what they're going through, but they're looking for a connection and they're looking to us as their adults to figure out, how can I get through this situation? Because when kids get really big feelings and they act out, it's very common for them to be shut down and told that's not okay to do now. So I'm hoping that as director of education, I can help train people in the community on how to be more inclusive with a child's behavior and redirect it. Because sometimes the child just needs your attention for a few minutes. Teachers are very stressed out. They have a lot to deal with. They have a lot of classroom management to do. But if we can find spaces for children to express themselves as they're ready, we can help them process these feelings, which will help their behavior in class, which will help their education. Like, there's so much good work going on. We just need to be able to have conversations about how do we best support grieving kids.
Let's use an example. And I hope if this is kind of relevant to you that you won't be offended. And I'm talking about our audience because I don't want you to think I'm making you an example. But rather, I'd rather you be encouraged because there's people like you going through what you're going through. So let's say there's a family of four. Father dies. And so you have a spouse and you have two children that are grieving. When they get involved with the grief center, there's a group for the adult parent. And there's a group age appropriate for each of the kids. And would the parent get some information from people that they would now realize, boy, I better pay extra attention to what my kids have to say to me? Would they learn that in a group?
Absolutely. Have you ever heard of the concept of holding space for somebody else?
No, I haven't.
So it's a way of being an active listener. I'm trained and I help people become comfortable holding space, because that's something that allows people the platform to speak. When you are giving kids advice and you're giving them directives, that can feel like a demand that they have to follow. And when they feel that way, it's one more thing for them to manage. When you hold space and are an active listener, you allow them the chance to express themselves. You learn how to do that at the grief center. Especially, like was mentioned before, like, we will feed you. We want you to come to the grief center. We remove impediments so that you can come and be supported, because there are some adults who are able to talk about, this worked with my child, this didn't work. And then as a bereavement facilitator, we can help them understand, well, when you told them what to do and they reacted, why do you think that happened? When you gave them a choice and you listened, why was their behavior different? There are so many transferable skills that you can learn at the grief center that will apply to the classroom, that will apply to parenting. And you don't have to do this alone. I think it's so easy to say, well, kids are resilient, they'll get over it. And to an extent, there's truth to that. But just because a child is resilient doesn't mean they have to do it on their own. And just because a parent is resilient, it doesn't mean they have to do it on their own either.
As you're listening this afternoon, Mickey Kivitz is the director of education for the Grief Center. And as he's talking, all the things that he's talking about are provided for free to people that are grieving. And then I switch to Susie because she's the director of development. And Susie in the background has to be the one that's helping to pay the bills while you're providing free services. Mm-hmm. And so this is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that is really doing some great work. Susie, a couple changes have happened since I met you 5 years ago and we started talking about this, or maybe 4 years. I can't remember.
Yeah.
You used to be the Children's Grief Center, and right. You had wonderful outcomes happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so then somebody thought, well, we ought to do the same thing for adults. So now it's just the Grief Center. And now you've hired somebody as a director of education. That's a big change.
That is a big change. And that's what I love about our organization is that we are always looking for these opportunities to just bring more awareness and more support to our grieving community. So when Mickey joined us he was already kind of a part of the family in a way because of his role as a volunteer. But we knew that this position as our new director of education would be a really great fit. And so what his role will be is not only to share some of his expertise, but to do that beyond central New Mexico. So we are, there's only two grief centers in the state of New Mexico, us as the grief center, and then Gerard's house is up in Santa Fe. So there's a large population of communities that don't necessarily have all the resources that you can find here in central New Mexico. So Mickey's going to be going out to schools and communities and talking to counselors and teachers and professionals about grief, and very specifically with the schools is how do you support a grieving child? Yeah. What does that look like? And we feel like that role will really be beneficial to helping us. You know, the statistic is right now that New Mexico is second in the nation for childhood bereavement. We feel like being able to share the expertise and the resources that Mickey brings to the Grief Center with others outside of the, you know, in the state will really be an important part of just making grief a conversation.
Well, you said something earlier, Susie, about, well, you just mentioned that we're second in the nation in terms of grief among children in the country, but we've also had a lot of statistics about our poverty levels for children, our education levels for children. Our systems doesn't seem to be working quite the way it should work. Those are all added pressures. When you have these added pressures and you're a parent of a child that's grieving, say, the loss of a parent, and you're the other parent, you're grieving too. So you may not have the bandwidth, really. Is that true, Mickey? You might not have the bandwidth to be doing the things you know your kids need. So you can come to the Grief Center. The Grief Center can give you that support you need, but they're also supporting your child.
Yeah, and please reach out to us at info@griefnm.org. Like Susie said, I'm going to be visiting anybody throughout the state who needs the services but doesn't live in Albuquerque or Santa Fe.
Yeah. Well, so, I love it. Let's give the website one more time. It's griefnm.org, and the phone number if you want to reach out is 505-323-0478. So what a blessing to meet you, Mickey and Susie. Always a pleasure. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Jim.